Grace and peace in our Lord Jesus Christ. This morning's scripture reading is from Philippians 1, verse 27, through to Philippians 2, verse 4. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one Spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in his Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. May God bless the reading of his word.
Thank you, Richard. Is this one on? There's a covered square near where I live in Daibo. There are hawkers selling different things. And one day I walked by the hat lady, whom I've got to know because I like buying hats. When she learned that I'm a minister, she asked me to take her to church without my asking her anything or saying anything to her. But immediately she said, later, 2 years later. And she said, I want to go to church. 2 years later, okay? I want to go. I'm a Christian. I pray to Jesus, God. That's how she said. I pray to Jesus, God. But I cannot go now. I will go 2 years later. I looked at her, and it just came to me to say that I haven't prepared a sermon, right? I just said, Jesus has been waiting for you. How much longer do you want to keep him waiting? And to my surprise, I said the same thing in a different conversation several days later. I'm interested. I'm busy. I don't know if you have ever said that. It has been the most common response to invitations to join Bible studies or formation groups or discipleship groups, even among church-going Christians. It's almost like I'm very busy. Work all the time. And that's the reality also, okay? And whether it's work outside of the home or mothers who stay home mothers or some stay home dads, the past year has been pretty madhouse, right? You know, you still have to work from home and you have an extra job of tending to your children, especially elementary school children, primary school children who need some help in focusing. So that's a reality. Is that your struggle also? Huh? Is that your struggle? Too busy? Just can't squeeze any more time? Besides, coming to Sunday service is really difficult. Or even for spending time with the Lord, reading the Bible and all that. And then we have to ask ourselves, does what matter the most to us keep us from what matters the most to Christ? Do we keep Christ waiting when he's very eager to carry on his good work in you, in me, in us? Remember, the title last week is The Good Work to be Completed. And it's like, book an appointment, come. I don't know if you do, but sometimes I book an appointment with a dentist or a doctor. I keep changing it. You know, so, yeah, that happens also. Jesus Christ wants his new creation to become fruitful with his DNA of holiness and righteousness. It is his goal that his redeemed be found pure and blameless on judgment day. He is the judge and he wants us to pass with flying colors. His wisdom directs us to choose that which matters the most for God's glory. That's from chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. The world cannot see God except through Christ. And they cannot see Christ, but through us. So whether it's individually or as the body of Christ, we are like the TV tube in old times or the computer laptop screen. We are the ones through whom others would see Jesus Christ and then they see God. Our existence as God's holy new creation is to show what God is like and what humans he has created are to be like. And Jesus Christ did that first. And we just follow suit, okay? So what does it take for that to get done? We want to see that happen, right? And so remember, I know that a couple of weeks ago, you heard from Dr. Abgan, chapter 1, verses 12 to 26. And there you find the word, there's one word that just keeps showing up and showing up and showing up and showing up and showing up. Do you remember that word? Anybody? Gospel. It's just like everywhere in that segment. And today we are going to see how that can get done. The good work can get done. Besides God himself taking care of it, he's going to make sure that he will get to the finish line. He will complete it. But what else does it take for that to get done? And from chapter 1, verse 27 to 2, verse 4, from the NIV that we just heard Richard read for us. And the title for today is Living as Citizens in Christ. The central idea of this text is that the Philippians were to live worthily of Christ's gospel in unity as citizens in Christ. Remember in chapter 1, verse 1, Paul called them, verse 2, Paul called them saints, holy people. Remember that? And we talked about God making us his new creation, and he has put his Christ's DNA in us. And so we are going to bear fruit from the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's not our own resource, but from Christ. And also in chapter 3, verse 20, Paul said that our citizenship is in heaven. Okay? So we are saints. We are holy people. We have our citizenship in Christ and in heaven. Okay? We belong to him. And with this context, and we also have already gone through chapter 2, verses 5 to 8. And that's the example put in the middle of, Paul's instructions to show how to live the life that he said we're to live. And we have already looked at that, but that's the context. And you'll find that some words just keep coming back, coming up again and again. And so we are children of God, without fault. We are to live without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Paul was describing first century Roman world. Do you think those adjectives apply to the world today? You know, human beings have not been better or worse. We have just been quite the same all the time, just in different ways and different forms. And because Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians, they're mostly Gentile Christians. And Philippi was a big city, busy city, and it's a military city where there were a lot of retired personnel, military personnel residing. And so you know, if they lived there and they became Christians, then they came to the church. So the church would also be made up of a lot of people from that community. And so rank, okay, is a very basic concept there. And also, from what we have read, church conflict is not unheard of. And also, selfish behavior is something Paul wants to address in this letter. So the theme for us now, that we just heard the central idea of the text that was for the Philippians some 2,000 years ago. What about its meaning for us today? So the theme for this morning's message is that we are companions to one another in becoming gospel-matching and fruit-bearing citizens in Christ. Gospel-matching and fruitful. And we're not doing it alone. We're in it together as companions. And so the direction of my message this morning is that citizens in Christ focus on Christ-likeness formation will stand in unity for the gospel. And this is where I'm going with this title. And this is just for the eyes to enjoy something beautiful, because we want to become like a companion plant garden as well in the spiritual sense. And so with this, this is where we are going this morning with the title, Living as Citizens in Christ. Not in any one particular country or place, our location is Christ himself. I don't know if it applies to Hong Kong as well. In America, real estate, you know, they say the most important thing, the first thing is location. The second thing is location. And the third thing is location. Okay, one time, we were looking for a house, my husband and I, and then saw an ad and said, the neighbors are absolutely quiet. And we are so curious, we went out there. And when we were walking up to the road at the end of the short street, we saw the house, and it's next to a fence. It's a few feet from the fence. And on the other side of the fence is a cemetery. Those are the very quiet neighbors, and that's the location, okay? So we need to know our location. Our location is in Christ. Okay, so now you're getting the idea. And we were working with Chinese and some other immigrants and refugees from other countries, and we thought, we don't mind, but I don't think those people would like to come to our house for any gathering, so drop the idea. So what does living as citizens in Christ really involve? So that takes us to our first point. First of all, we mind the match. I want to take you down further for you to see. Oops. And we mind the unity, those two things. But we go back to mind the match. Mind here means pay attention to. Okay, focus on it, give your effort to it, and all that. Mind the match from verses 27 to 30 in chapter 1. The main point here is that matching their lives with the gospel of Christ is the only thing that matters for citizens in Christ, according to Paul. He said, only do da-da-da-da-da. Right? Only conduct yourselves worthily, okay, of the gospel in a manner that's worthy of the gospel of Christ only, okay? He used the word only. He said, oh, one of the things that you need to do now, only. So to do that, we have to make a choice between the world's culture or Christ. Which do we choose? Focusing on Christ-likeness formation helps us discern Christ's way and stay on it. Now, this is the passage, the segment that we're looking at here. Paul said, whatever happens, and those words actually are not in Greek. He said, only, okay, he said, but only, okay, the word only. Conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, why was he absent? He was in jail. I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them of destruction, or that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, or to you of salvation, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to do what? To believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. I've put some notes up there in the previous slide. He started by saying only, monotonous. You know, we all know the word monotonous, right? Monopoly. That's where it comes from. So only. That means this is the thing that matters. That's the only thing that matters. So for us this morning, we look at this passage and we learn a few things from it. First, citizens in Christ focus on Christ-likeness formation. That's our calling. That's what God wants. That's the purpose of our existence. And guess what? There's no retirement for that. If you say, oh, I don't know what to do after retirement, this is what we continue to do till we breathe our last. Becoming like Christ from the inside out is the only way our lives can match the good news. Match him does not just mean, look like, oh, what color, right color. If you saw me earlier walking on the street, I was in some black shoes and you would say, they don't match. But that's what's just on the outside, okay? Here we're talking about value matching, okay? If I give you a house, you'd better give me the same value, or at least more or less equal value in cash or something, right? You just can't give me $10 and that's it, right? So same thing. Our lives need to be of the same value as the gospel. And how we live, our lifestyle, our choices, our behavior, our attitude, our way of treating people must agree with the gospel. That's basically the idea that Paul is advocating here. Now, what's the good news? Wow, if we have to talk about what the good news is. One semester in seminary won't be enough, or maybe a lifetime of study. Writing books would not be enough, but we still have to tackle it within the limited time we have. The good news is that we are God's new creation, right? With Christ, what in us? Christ DNA, somebody remembers, that's great. Okay, so there are several things. First of all, there is an imperative, which is a command or a plea or an urge. Conduct yourselves. The word for conduct yourselves here comes from a Greek word from which we get the word for politics, political, you know, that root. It's related to the city. And usually, like in Ephesians, Paul would say walk. But here he used a word that's pretty political, okay? Should I hush now? Can we talk about politics now? Okay, so I think it's because the setting in Philippi was quite different from other places in some ways. Although Ephesians is still, you know, a Gentile city, but this being a military city, he was using a word that people can relate to. Oh, what does it mean to be a citizen? Okay, we have obligations, loyalty, and all that, and we also have privileges, rights, right? Okay, so he is saying only live, that the conduct yourselves actually mean live as citizens. Okay, so only live as citizens, worthily of the gospel, the only thing that matters. And then we're able to discern what is best, according to chapter 1, verse 10, to tell what really matters to God, to his heart, and even to ourselves. And I'm citing Dr. Ronald Fong, who wrote that commentary on the book of Philippians, that he said the same thing. And then this kind of life, this life that matches, okay, that if you put in the balance of not just about weight, but about the value, then it can be the same as the gospel. Then what's How do we see that? What's the indication? So it's indicated by standing firm. You see it in the following verse, it says, well, then when I come, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit. Actually, the word firm is not that, it's just the word stand, okay? But it's a military term. This military term, have you ever seen that? That's according to the British, it's phalanx. According to Americans, phalanx. Okay, so up to you, whichever way. But this kind of standing is not like this, or just like that. No, as everybody would be assigned a place. When somebody calls, submit! Doesn't matter what your rank is at that point. You're assigned a position, you just get in that position, and you just stand still. And I heard from a young man in America that went to receive some military training, he said that when I'm on guard, holding my gun, okay, something like that, doesn't matter what happens around me, I have to keep looking straight ahead. You cannot turn to see what happened. Just look straight ahead, because there will be somebody looking in that direction, and they're only going to just look ahead. Okay, so there's understanding, and we know in Chinese Kung Fu, anybody in Chinese Kung Fu, the most important thing is the way you stand, right? You have to stand very still. I don't know how to do it, I'm just pretending. Okay, so this is the indication, and this is not an imperative, but indicative, okay? So standing firm in unity for the gospel. So first of all, as like soldiers. And how is that done? We talk about this. This is the way we know that they are matching, their life is matching the gospel. And that's done by striving together for the faith of the gospel. This striving, I don't have a picture for you, but it's still a Roman picture. It's not about military or soldiers. It's about athletes, actually gladiators. You like those movies? The gladiator movie? They are not there for fun athletics, not the Olympics. They are there fighting animals for their own lives, okay? And sometimes they may work as a team, sometimes as individuals. And that's what Paul was talking about here. That's a picture of what they are to do, is that first they stand firm like soldiers together. And then under that, there are two things they do, striving together for the faith of the gospel, like athletes, okay? Like in the arena, like gladiators. And number two, he said, not being intimidated by the opponents. The opponents are not just people who disagree or criticize you or say, oh, we don't like what you're doing. No, they are coming after you. If you don't quit, they come after you. They come after you. I prayed for persecuted brothers and sisters who were forced to leave their home. That's what happened, okay? And so, but this is interesting that Paul said, when you encounter opposition, usually, I don't know about you, if somebody comes over to me and is very cross and, you know, my heart rate would start going up, right? Does that happen to you too? Right? We'll be, what's happening? Okay, but Paul said, when you're not intimidated, not frightened, the word actually is about flying. You don't fly into some irrational behavior. That's a sign, like an index, like the Hang Seng index that shows how the market is and what company is making money and which one's losing. This is the indication to them, destruction. To those citizens in Christ, salvation from God. Okay? So this is the picture that we have here. So he said that this is part of the deal, so to speak, that salvation and suffering come in a package. We believe in Christ. We also suffer for Christ. So we know that this is the reason that this is what we can call the perks for citizens of Christ. Perks, you know? So in Cantonese, our benefits. Ha! The benefits? Suffering, as well as salvation. You may say, I'm not too sure I'd really want that, but it does come together. And so, when they come in the package, like two sides of a coin, then we have a share in the kingdom stock called suffering. The more we recognize that struggles and suffering are normal to citizens in Christ, the better. The proof of our salvation in Christ is not the absence of suffering, but the absence of panic in the presence of opposition. God uses suffering to mold us and shape us to become more like Christ. The next thing we look at is that citizens in Christ bear witness for Christ and his gospel. The gospel of Christ, the faith of the gospel on behalf of Christ, concerning Christ. These words just keep coming up, okay? So good news, as I said, is a term that needs a lot of study. It carries deep and broad meanings. And here's my little attempt to share a slice of it. Many years ago, I was going to Universal Studios in L.A. My friends got up at 5 a.m. to drop me off. And I was, okay, riding, and a young woman sat next to me, and she woke up from her nap, and I just thought, I said, oh, my friends are so nice. They just dropped me off at 5 a.m. in the morning. And then they were cupping me up at 5 p.m. in the afternoon. That really makes me think of, you know, how we can be back in God's home. That's what Jesus did, that he just came and get us home. And she said, I'm not a Christian. I have heard a little about Christianity. But that's the first time I've heard somebody put it that way. I said, oh, really? And she was said, that's interesting. So what is the gospel? It's our big brother, Dilo, Jesus Christ, coming to take us home to our Heavenly Father. For today, I'll refer to the will of God as the home of humans who have become citizens in Christ. When we live outside of Christ, we live outside of God's will. Living is Christ is where we begin to learn to live in God's will, loving him with all our heart and all our soul and all our might and all our strength. Yes, sometimes we err and stray and walk in the opposite direction. That's why the formation is a process and it's a lifelong process. It's time I share this with you. The cherries you so easily pick up and eat and then just spit the stone, it takes a process. Okay, this is a reminder of the process that is a lifelong one. We don't graduate from it. And then the centrality of Christ and the news of his victory were written in bold with a big brush in Philippians 1:27-30. Now, God could have done it all by himself, right? To show the trustworthiness of the gospel. What is for the faith of the gospel? That means for the persuasiveness of the gospel. For the trustworthiness of the gospel. For the guarantee of the gospel. He could have done it. However, he involves us, his new creation, in this process. Why? Actually, it requires our participation, our involvement, for the reason that we were bad, okay? And then he can transform us and change us and turn us into good. And so that's why he wants us to be involved. So how can citizens in Christ show that the good news is really good? So Paul said, mind the unity. In 2:1-4, he is telling us that unity in Christ shows the gospel's transforming power, because just on our own, we cannot be united. We cannot even agree on where to go eat or what to buy for a new house, okay? Sometimes that happens. So between my concerns and yours, which do I tend to care about more usually? Of course it's mine, right? When citizens in Christ choose to do that which goes against ingrained habits of me first, that often gets the attention of even the skeptics. Paul drew the Philippians' attention to what resources they have in them as citizens in Christ. He said something about the mind and the attitude. This is a diaphragm I've been showing you. I would like to take you to the scripture there. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, actually from any encouragement in Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness, and it's the same internal organs that we talked about last time, any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit, and being of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, or actually not to their own things, but each of you to the interests of the others, to the things of the others. And once again, we are going to see something we don't see often, is our internal organs, okay? So that's what he was saying. So what do you consider the most important factor in a successful career or a business? I don't know. What do you think is the most important? I asked some people a while ago, and among the 6 or 7 people there of different ages and genders and all professions, seniority, they all came up with one. Our co-workers, the relationship of our co-workers. Rather than, you know, whether the place is nice or not. Okay, vision is important too, but first thing from everybody's mouth is relationship, co-workers' relationship. And so Paul here, he is saying, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, consider others superior to you. Drop this superiority complex in us, okay? And so what is humble? What is humility? The word, the picture for the word, or the word comes from this thing called a hill or a mountain being leveled to the ground. Where's the hill? No hill. Okay? Being humbled is like you completely lose your status. And we don't go by status in the body of Christ. We're all on the same plane. We're all on the same level. And so we're not going to draw people with buildings or programs. Sometimes it helps a little. But when we are united in humility and selflessness, we'll make heads turn, so to speak. We might make jaws drop. Like, that person, I know him. He's a jerk. He was a jerk. Okay, wow, what has he become? So we want to know that we have a lot of resources to accomplish this work. We are not on our own. Just now, Paul said that all this is our resources in Christ. The compassion, the fellowship, the encouragement, the sharing. And these resources are not to be left on the shelf. They are to be used by us to nurture one another. The word therefore points to back to the previous segment where Paul talks about agony, struggle. We need one another. We need the encouragement, the fellowship, the nurturing from one another to get through tough times. The whole world is in a very tough spot right now. We need to not just take care of our own, but also others, but we must start with our own. So we nurture one another with these resources. And if it can make Paul's joy complete, it can definitely make everybody's joy complete, right? And so we want to know that we mind the same thing which Paul said was about the gospel. Minding the same doesn't mean we think the same way about everything, we agree on everything. No, it's impossible. It's not reality. But we have to have the same attitude, which is, I may be wrong. You know, when we come to disagreements or an impasse, the first one who says, okay, I hear you. I may be wrong. I'll go back and check. You know what? That can immediately open up more a way for more communication instead of forcing a conclusion at that point. And so when citizens in Christ act out of humility and look out for others, this world is not going to be the same because they see that it's possible for people from diverse backgrounds and cultures can all take care of one another. Listen to other people's concerns, even if it is not your own. The subject matter may not be what you're interested in, but if you would listen, it would lift people's spirit. Last Sunday, we sang a song, "Oh Love That Will Not Let Me Go." We talked about the songwriter. But remember, he was blind. His girlfriend or fiancé left him, decided to not marry him because she cannot handle that. And yet he still finished seminary training that required him to study Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Those of us who have eyes open still find it very difficult. How did he get through that? He had three sisters who took Hebrew, Greek, and Latin to study with him, to help him finish. And he became a pastor. And he wrote a song that blessed us. Love. You say, "Oh, that's sisters. Those are sisters." But haven't you heard that the first murder were between two brothers? Who sold Joseph as a slave? No, brothers and sisters are not always loving. But these three really acted what Paul was talking about here. They really did what Paul was saying. They look out for their brother. And so, this is the conclusion for this morning, that citizens in Christ focused on Christ-likeness formation will stand in unity, witnessing to the gospel's power of transformation. And let's pray about how we can be companions to one another.